Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm joined again today by Scott Hale, a technical recruiter for Kforce. I think it's afternoon there, isn't it, Scott?
Afternoon, yeah.
Good afternoon to you. It's just afternoon in New York. So welcome back. How have you been?
Good. Thank you. Welcome. It's been a great year so far, and it's a lot of excitement that all of us on a personal front and the firm is going through.
Cool. Well, let's start with, just give a brief, you've been with Kforce for, I think you said 12 years now, but what were you doing before Kforce?
Well, I was with another staffing firm for 5 years. And then prior to that, I was with a software firm for about a year, but that's pretty much it. I mean, since college, I've only had two staffing jobs, recruitment jobs. And I've always, I graduated with a technology degree. So I figured I don't want to code, but I also don't want to give up my technology background. So how can I leverage my technology with something that I enjoy, which is really to work with people, understand people, the psychology behind what motivates them, and then try to just connect the two. And that's when I fell into recruitment.
Oh, very cool. And I personally got out of college and I did want to code. So, and I still do it to this day. Not 100%, but
it's a great skill set. Great skill set to have. Yeah.
And I think you would agree. I tell every young kid in college, take one programming course at least.
That's it. Yeah. And it also, I think over the years of, obviously I've talked to thousands of developers and it opens up your mind. It gives you this breadth of knowledge of, it's just a really, really good skill set to have. And I think more and more, like I have 3 and 4 year old now, and that's going to be my thing with them. At some point, I'm going to tell them whether you want to go in that direction or not, it's another language that you should look into.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, I speak one native tongue and I speak about 10 programming languages.
There you go.
And to give you, since we brought up the little ones, I bought my first personal computer the week my daughter was born. And then I also have a son and both of them are in tech now. My daughter works at a company that rhymes with Google. So
it works where
he works at a company that rhymes with Google.
Oh, all right. Very nice.
And my son actually works with me. So
that's awesome.
Both in tech. So, and you never know, maybe they'll be the next generation of techies in your family.
Well, that's the thing, right? And obviously they're going to have a lot of options that they'll have at their exposure because the remote world that we're in.
Yes.
And I think that's the exciting, that's probably one of the fortunate things that came out of this unfortunate event of COVID, right? Like, it's just the menu has gotten bigger and bigger for professionals, especially within IT.
Yeah, and we can get to that in a few minutes. But first of all, let's just tell us about Kforce. What is it? Yeah. What is it you do? What does Kforce do? What sets you apart from other companies that are in your space?
Yeah, I mean, Kforce, like I mentioned, I've been with the firm for 12 years. I'm proud to say that, right? It's rare to find a headhunter working for a staffing firm for that long, right? So that speaks to the company's values, the culture that Kforce brings. We're a publicly traded firm. We have offices pretty much throughout the country. And really our two main domains are technology consulting and full-time and accounting and finance consulting and full-time. So anyone's looking for support technician to all the way up to head of infrastructure, or if you're looking for programmer and all the way up to the CTO, that comes in our wheelhouse. We replace functional and technical professionals, right? And then on the accounting and finance, from bookkeeping clerks, receptionists, to all the way to CFO. So all really just two main disciplines. And obviously we have, since COVID, our business obviously has grown tremendously because now, I'm personally based out of Long Island, New York, but I have clients all over the country now. Mm-hmm. Right? I have talent pool that I have access to that are from all over the country. So that also led us to work with other partners within Kforce from other offices. Now we've done that before, but now it's pretty much one team and one firm. That's what I think that really exciting about working for a firm like this, because we have the infrastructure, we have the players spread out all across the country. Really the geography doesn't matter anymore. So I think from that standpoint, in the end, our clients are really benefiting from this because they have access to more options, more talent pools.
Well, and that, because when we last talked about a little bit over a year ago, it was, you know, we were a year into the pandemic then, and people were starting to feel comfortable with it. What have you seen like in the last year that from your customers, do you find that they, you know, were a year ago, they're like, yeah, we'll try remote. And now is it, well, we want remote. Is that what you're starting to see, or is it different?
So a little bit of both. So I have some clients that are now operating on hybrid mode, mm-hmm. especially a lot of the greater New York based clients. Mm-hmm. And then I have others that are just 100% remote, you know, and then a small pockets of them are saying, well, it's okay if you're going to get us someone remote, Scott, but let's try to find someone who's close to our office. Mm-hmm. Let's, because we want to keep that door open that if they need to visit the office, they're somewhat accessible. So, well, that's great. I know that, you know, that's wonderful if we can achieve this, but then 2 months go by, 3 months go by, 6 months go by. Scott, where's the candidate? Well, we don't have anyone. Why? Because they want remote. Okay, well, let's expand the option now. So it's, you know, an ideal scenario if it works out, wonderful, but it's still, the challenge still remains because the talent pool, they have options. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, because they're talking to a company in Idaho, they're based out of New York, you know, mm-hmm. but for a company, they want to retain that culture. And I get that. So it's kind of an interesting battle, the shift that's going on, and we'll just see how it's going to all play out, but it's, and I have some firms that I work with that it's, unfortunately positions have been open for a very long time because of this reason. And then there's the other element of certain skill set. No matter how much you want to build that culture, you want to have people in the office 2 days, 3 days per week, they've always had remote options, even before pandemic. So there's that issue. So, but you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for some firms.
Well, let's look at it from the other side, from the talent pool side, right? Do you find that more and more people out there are saying, hey, I don't want to drive into Manhattan or into the city of San Francisco or LA anymore. And they want, they're only looking for remote.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, unless someone's already used to working for a company that's operating under hybrid, then they're like, Scott, I don't mind going to the city. I'm already doing that. I don't mind going hybrid. Right. Mm-hmm. But that I'm finding that mostly in the greater New York area. Right. But because they're not getting, like, you know, like I'm working on a few security roles and a lot of them happen to be within the banking and financial institutes within the greater New York. Well, you have to be in the office. You have to be in the office 2-3 days. They're already doing that. They're used to that. So they're not giving me a lot of pushback on that. Right. But if you're talking to a DevOps engineer, the minute you use the word hybrid or on site, they run away. I mean, they're like, no way. I mean, I'm just not going to do that unless I'm literally close to the office. And even then, I only want to go as needed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have these rigid schedules where I have to go. So it's an interesting trend that we're noticing.
Yes, I would agree. And it's funny you bring up security. I mean, from what I can tell now, Chief Information Security Officer is one of the most in-demand jobs out there today. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And do you think that has to do with the pandemic, that because so many people are remote, there's more demands on security?
Yeah, I mean, the security, even before pandemic, has always been one of those skill sets where it was increasingly just going in demand, right? Especially within security, we have cybersecurity, right? Mm-hmm. We have some roles where, you know, you have to come in and create cybersecurity programs for certain firms. So there's tremendous demand in that. And I think anyone with any roles, when I talk to professionals or even younger ones that are graduating from college, that whatever discipline you're going to embark on, try to bring a little bit of more of a niche area within that area, right? So if security is a broad discipline, well, maybe hone in on cybersecurity if you can. You know, that seemed to be highly in demand right now, right? So, but yes, I mean, to answer your question, it's always been in demand and now more and more.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah. I mean, I hear it all the time from people. I need security experts. And it's like, they're hard to find.
And they cost a lot.
They do. That's actually what I tell kids that are in that are starting out in the IT world. I say, learn security.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Employ the rest of your life.
Yeah. And it's one of those discipline that, you know, certifications can be hit and miss. And I've done some my own videos on podcasts on that topic. But security is one of those areas where hiring managers still value if you have certifications, i.e. CSSP, CISM. So they do look at that. They, you know, to them, that shows that you have strong interest in security and you're really taking your profession seriously.
Yeah. So let's start with, like, from the talent pool. Let's just say kids getting out of college, 22 years old, right? What advice would you give them if they want to break into this industry?
Industry of technology or recruitment? Because recruitment, I'll say, you know, don't go in that direction.
All right, then let's go technology, since that's a short topic.
well, for technology, I would first say, I would first ask them, do you genuinely have interest in coding? You know, a lot of people get into technology, they're figuring things out, but then they realize that they don't want to code all day. They don't want to sit in front of the desk and code all day. Mm-hmm. So the good programmers that I've dealt with over the years, and again, I'm generalizing here, right? They just, from day one, when they were really young in college, they always wanted to develop and code, and they just gravitated toward that. So if you're one of those individuals, I think you'll just find that passion on your own. You're going to have your GitHub. You're going to develop some small projects on your own. You're going to do freelance work. And you're just naturally going to gravitate in that area. You're going to hang around that community of other coders that are sharing same values and principles as you. As yours. So, and I think that's where you don't even have to push them too much into it. You can just guide them a little bit, but they're just going to naturally gravitate toward that, you know. But it's the others that I fear that I want to jump on this wagon of, oh, Python developer, 120,000. I think I can do it. Then they realize, I don't know if I'm going to code all day. I don't know if I want to stay in front of a computer and just, you know, or they just don't have that natural knack to even go in that direction. So those are the ones I would say, if you figured that out earlier, that's not for you, look for something else.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I was one of those people you're talking about. My first 10 years of my career, I was an assembler programmer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which I have a feeling they don't ask for that skill much anymore.
No. We don't play some. Not those. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they teach it. I don't know that they teach it in college anymore, to be honest with you.
We've gotten RPG developers. We've gotten those. We've got, not a lot. That's not the bulk of our business.
Do you still get people asking for COBOL programmers?
No, but the closest thing that came to us, RPG developer, a couple of manufacturing clients, and they have this ED, they have the system in place. They don't want to replace it,
right?
And and some talent pool is out there. And for us, you know, if it's within technology, you know, we don't really have specialty in one industry or one particular skill set. We are generally a well-rounded technology recruitment firm. Now, there are roles that we just can't fill. We'll just share with our clients, especially now how busy we are. We're just very candid with them that this is something we can't support. But, you know, so if it has a technology discipline, we can find you someone.
Well, cool. And then so let's end on what would you say right now are the number one thing you get requested for, both in technology, what skill set, and in accounting?
Engineers, right? Okay. So specifically Node, React, mobile and Python developers. When I say Python developers, I'm not talking about someone who just knows how to script in Python and all, right? I'm talking about actual back-end engineers. That's always been the case. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. The only difference is going to be just the languages may differ, but the reality is that, and then lately, if I can add another one to it, it's just really around DevOps engineers and cloud engineers. There's been a huge uptick in that area as well. And lastly, if I may add the third one, it's security, which we covered before.
Yeah.
But really those three, in one form or another, we always have in multiple roles coming through.
Yeah. Cool. And then, and what about in the accounting and the financial world?
Accounting, I don't really, I'm not an expert in that. I don't want to speak for that world, but I do talk to my colleagues from time to time, and you know, they're recruiting staff accountant, public accounting professionals. That's always, you know, in fact, sometimes in, on that side, because I just, you know, just through my networking with my my colleagues in that department, they've always, they've told us that their clients are more like, hey, forget about if we even have a role open. If you find a phenomenal Big Four or public accounting professional, just send them our way. Hmm. We'll create a position for that person. So that's all. Yeah, it's a very, very thin pool mm-hmm. of those individuals, and those individuals have plenty of options. So it's more around talk about competing offers and multiple interviews. I mean, they really, it's, you know, they have, they demand in that space is extremely, like I'm talking to just recently working with this candidate from Deloitte, Big Four. Cybersecurity, extensive cybersecurity background, ton of options. So for those type of individuals, it's more like, forget about what's on our website, just introduce us to this individual and we'll create a role.
Interesting. And do you find that people from those Big Four are looking to make changes, or, I mean, cause
longer hours,
you work too hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, depends where you are in your life, right? Some don't want to travel. Some don't want to put up with longer hours, right? And I think that, generally speaking, I'm not an expert in that space, but from what I've been told is that, generally speaking, they get in right out of college. They get into this amazing ecosystem of Big Four, the big name, big team. They get their first job or second job. But then they're like, okay, now I got to explore what else is out there. Yeah. I don't want to be the small fish in a big pond, you know? And so there's that. And then some folks just want good work-life balance. So they don't want to put up with the longer hours. So, it just depends on where you are in your career.
Yeah. And I would agree. And it's interesting. We find that as time goes on, financial and tech are combining more and more, that you need both skills. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And especially as you get higher and higher up in your ranking within your discipline, your domain knowledge becomes critical. How much you know, how well you're connected with the business. We find that a lot, especially with functional roles like product managers, project managers, business analysts. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Scott, you and I could talk about this stuff for hours, but I want to thank you again. Maybe we'll do this again in 2023. Absolutely. Who knows? Thanks for joining us again today, and have a great day.
Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it now. Thank you.